to Mental Health Insights. My name is Craig Faust, and I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about how to reduce anxiety and stress. This is going to be a part two, since we had a part one for the anxiety and stress long, long time ago. This is actually a little bit unintentional part two. The episode that we originally had was so popular that I decided to make a continuation of it, especially in light of recent things that are going on right now with this episode being aired, or rather being recorded, right around the time that the coronavirus is really starting to increase its presence and increase in its awareness in the population. And we are working on trying to contain the virus. So I figured this is probably a very good and relevant topic. So first things first, whenever I want to do just a little quick review. So whenever we experience anxiety and stress, I want to have common terms. So anxiety, that's the racing thoughts or the experience that I have mentally. And stress is the experience that I have in my body. So that could be tightness, heart beating fast, or breathing fast, or anything like that. So if you want to learn more about how anxiety and stress works, I'd recommend you listen to that first episode. This episode, I want to talk about just simply ways to reduce it by working on controlling your environment a little more. So in our day and age, we have very, very intense environments. And it might sound strange that I say that, because you might be like, hey, Craig, there have been intense environments for most of human history, and right now we're in a very safe environment. Well, safe does not equal intense. Those two are not necessarily correlated. So whenever I say intense, what I mean is that we are bombarded by things. So I want you to think of our entire body is a receptor. It is a receptor to signals all around us, whether or not that is light signals that go into our eyes or vibration signals that go into our skin and our different, in our ears or anything like that, or whether or not that is taste sensations that happen in our mouth, our tongue, or whether or not that's certain smells that get picked up by our nose. So these are all different senses, or even just sense of direction and pull of gravity that happens on the inside of our ear. So we have these different senses that are constantly getting input from the outside world. And whenever these senses are active all the time, stimulated all the time, it creates an overload in the brain. So I want you to picture this, right? The brain is almost like a tapestry. And the more and more that you weave into the tapestry, and more you do with it, the more and more cluttered it becomes. A lot of times art is simplistic and beautiful and elegant. However, if our brain is bombarded by signals from every direction all the time, it cannot be beautiful and elegant. In fact, it becomes chaotic. And this is where anxiety goes into the mix. So I want to talk about a couple different things. And the first thing I want to talk about is our propensity, or our leaning towards screens and social media and news outlets and TVs and all those types of things. So I'm going to lump all those together into one category, right? So our leaning towards information from visual sources, all right? What this means is that whenever I peruse the internet or I'm on the TV, I'm constantly being bombarded by information, whether or not that's ads, news, movies, or anything like that. It can be information as simple as what's going on with the virus, like I said, or it can be information as complex as understanding what is going on in a story of a movie, or it can be as complex as ads that are coming across convincing me to buy certain products. All of these things are stimulating my brain, whether or not I'm aware of it or not. And whenever I get too much stimulus, I will get anxious. My threshold to be able to tolerate situations goes down. I actually like to make reference to what happens with my wife, because For me, one, it's easier to, for me to recognize what's going on in other people than myself, because I'm a human being, and that's usually how it goes. And I notice that whenever I'm listening to an audiobook, I love listening to audiobooks and podcasts. Whenever I'm listening to an audiobook and podcast and she's within earshot and she can hear it, she always tells me to turn it down because it's hard for her to think, which makes sense. She's getting hit by an audio stimulus while she's trying to think. It clutters her mind, and it actually really stresses her out, which she would say if you asked her, but she expresses stress by getting angry or upset, like most of us do. So whenever we are getting bombarded by too much stimulus, we get anxious and we get stressed. So those of you that are used to perusing Facebook or Instagram or Twitter or whatever it is you look at, or the news outlets, TVs or anything like that, whenever you are constantly used to doing that, you are getting bombarded by information and you are at a much higher degree or likelihood of becoming too stressed or too anxious. Now, this is a difficult thing because the logical part of me would just tell you, like, hey, just pull away from that. You know, put your phone down, put your TV down, or whatever that may be, because if you're able to do that, then you'll be taking out a stressor. But it comes a little more than that, right? So you want to take this stuff away to reduce the stimulus and put yourself in an environment where there's less stimulus. So this would be a room where there might not be a TV or a computer or your phone, and just be able to sit there, and even if it's just sit and think or read, just to slow down just a little bit. I want you to think about that. We are constantly being bombarded by information from everywhere, from our radios to our TVs to people around us, just to noise and shuffling and hustling and bustling. For example, people that live in cities are shown to be much more stressed than those that live in the suburbs or those that live in more rural areas, because there's a constant noise pollution that's going on, constant stimulus of movement and pictures and colors and things to see and, you know, oddities and all these different things that keep the brain working all the time. If our brain is working all the time, then we are more prone to anxiety and stress, and we have to take a break. And taking a break can look like a lot of different things. Like I said, going into another room, just putting down the phone or the TV or the computer, tablet, or anything like that, and just sitting and doing something that isn't as stimulating, right? You don't have to sit in a room in the dark and not do anything, but you do have to reduce what you're doing. There's a reason that whenever people would read that they wouldn't get bombarded as much. Whenever they're reading, they can stop reading it at any time, and after a while, their brain will stop thinking about it. But two, there isn't a huge bombardment of light and color. There isn't sound that's associated with it. The texture and smells are relatively lower key. So we aren't hit with so much overwhelming information that usually happens when we get stressed or anxious. So whenever you're going through this time and you notice that you're getting stressed and anxious, allow yourself to pull back from things and allow yourself to have some time just to relax within a low stimulus and low stimulating environment, right? Maybe you're like me and you like to listen to things all the time. So whenever I notice I get stressed, I have to stop listening to things, right? I have to enjoy the quiet and peace. Even though it's weird for me because it feels like I'm wasting time, or, you know, there's books I want to listen to or there's podcasts I want to listen to. But if I'm constantly being bombarded by different noises or voices or anything like that, my brain is becoming too chaotic. It's becoming too stimulated, and I have to allow it to be nice and calm. That way it can process through events that are going on. So what do I mean by process through events that are going on? Well, your brain throughout the day takes a backlog of things that get queued up and are unconscious. So what I mean by that is our unconscious brain is always trying to figure things out. It's always trying to solve problems for us. It's wonderful in that way. And whenever we're stimulated all the time, it gets way too much stuff that it's trying to figure out all the time, that it's trying to problem solve through all the time. So whenever we slow down and we are stimulated less, it allows our brain to kind of clear out that queue of things that our unconscious brain has been working on. It'd be no different than, let's say that I have a problem. The problem is, let's see, I'm going to try to go with like maybe a pretty common problem. The problem is that, like, hey, I want to get a new car. And I have all this stuff to do. I got to do research on different cars, and I got to find out how much I can afford to pay. So I got to balance budget. Then I got to figure out where would I get the best deal for that car? What can I trade my car in for? Right? That's a lot of work to do. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that. Eh, but that's a lot of stuff. I don't want to do it right now. So in the background, while I'm doing other things, my brain is sitting there working on the problem. It's like, all right, what do I need to do first? Okay, what kind of car would I like? What have I seen that I like or anything? This is all happening in the background, so I may not even be really conscious of what's going on whenever this is happening. And the more and more that my brain is working on the problem, it's great. But if it gets hit with another problem, where, like, let's say, what should I do with the coronavirus? Oh my gosh, I need to get supplies. What if I have to self-quarantine? Maybe I need to get some Lysol wipes or Clorox wipes or anything like that, or disinfectant. Then that's another problem I got to start working on. Okay, but you know what? I got to do other things for work, so I start focusing on this while my unconscious brain's like, now I got two problems to work on. Then it's like, oh wait, what time am I going to pick up my son from the babysitter? Ooh, when can I do that? When do I have time to do that? Maybe I should run by the store and pick up some stuff for dinner. What would I do? When should I do that? What do I want for dinner? So more problems just start piling up. Then, okay, I have to do something else. And, oh yeah, I need to change the oil in my car while I'm thinking about it. I need to take care of this car until I get another one. So I don't know when I'm going to do that. I'm going to have to think about that. So as you can see, the unconscious brain is very easy for it to get piled up on stuff to do. And the more and more you're stimulated by the environment, the more and more problems get created, the more and more you are likely to get stressed, right? The more and more your brain's moving, the more and more chaos is introduced into your world. So, and this goes actually even beyond this now that I'm thinking about it. So while all of us are gearing up for this virus and more of us are starting to stay home, if your home is messy, so if you're like, oh, I need to make my bed, or I need to do the dishes, or I need to unload dishes, or I need to do laundry because it's spilling over, every time that you walk by something that you need to do, that's a problem that goes logs into your unconscious brain, and it pesters your brain until you actually end up doing it. So your brain becomes a very chaotic place, and it becomes a place that breeds anxiety, breeds stress. So you have to be able to calm down by taking a break, pulling away from some of it, and whether or not it's just reading an article in a magazine, or just sitting there and having a glass of tea or water, just slowing down just a little and allowing your brain to just take a break so that it can start to deal with some of the buildup of anxiety, so it can start to deal with the chaos that is your mind. If you want to learn how to handle anxiety and stress, you have to learn when it's time for you to pull away and to take care of yourself by reducing the amount of stimulus that your environment is imposing upon you. It's kind of like whenever people are yes people, right? They volunteer for things, they do different things all the time. Sometimes they get overloaded because they say yes to too many things and they have too much on their plate. No different than no people, right? Where they start to feel like they should be doing things all the time and maybe they're lazy or people don't like them because they don't do things, right? The brain is an engine of meaning and understanding, and it's always trying to figure things out. It's always trying to solve problems. And unless you give it room, space to solve problems, it's really easy for things to build up. So give yourself some time or space, because if you don't, your brain will find time or space right before you try to go to bed, and it'll keep you up throughout the night while your brain is running through all the stressful situations. Now imagine with everything that's been going on, there's been quite a few of you that are listening to this now that have probably been stressed, that have probably been staying up late, and that have probably been worried about things that are going on. And that makes it harder because once sleep gets impacted, then you're on a whole different level of exposure to stress and anxiety and chaos in your mind. So I just wanted to encourage you, take some time to yourself and take some time just to have a cup of coffee or a glass of tea or some water or whatever it may be, and just relax and just sit there. And you know, you don't have to read or anything like that. Those are just suggestions. Just with the TV off, with the radio off, don't scroll through your phone or anything. Just give yourself some time, right? You have to give yourself some time. This is a really, really stressful time. You almost have to give yourself even more time during election seasons, right? During election seasons, that's when we're more prone to illness and stress and anxiety. Because we are being bombarded by even more messages, right? We're getting more things in the mail, more commercials, more decisions, more big decisions, right? The world is going to fail unless you elect this person or unless this thing happens. You know, your whole family is going to be affected. So the stress and the anxiety really goes up around election years. So all of a sudden, throw that problem on your plate too, right? You don't have to. Just back up. Give yourself some time to rest so that then you can return and tackle these problems full on, right? Instead of running out of fumes trying to do it, right? Give yourself time, right? We pull our cars over at gas stations and gas our cars up when they're low on fuel. We have to do the same thing for our brain, to pull over, allow them to fuel up so that we can get going and hit the road again. I know that this is one of those things that maybe sounds easier than it is to do. And you're right. It's just like anything. You have to practice at it. And you have to keep at it. And you have to protect that time that you would take a break. Because if you don't protect the time, then it'll just get logged in. You'll do it something else, right? You'll find something else to do during that. And that something else will probably be stimulating. And if it's stimulating, it just adds to the chaos of your mind. So I hope that this little tidbit was helpful for you, and maybe we will do a more extensive episode on more and more how to deal with stress, as especially during this time. I think that a lot of people are stressed, and we want to be able to help. And during the time that you may want to help, I would encourage you that talking is something that helps reduce anxiety a lot of times. Just talking about things to somebody else. You don't even have to solve problems. Just talking about it helps your brain process it. It helps it reduce the intensity of it because it's being released. So I'd suggest you to talk to a friend or a family member or a professional, even better yet. A lot of therapists can do telemedicine around this time of the year whenever things are really intense. But talking to anybody is something that will help. And whenever you're talking to somebody and it releases a little bit, that doesn't necessarily excuse the part where you need to have a break yourself still, right? Treasure that time. Enjoy it, right? It's sacred time. So I hope that you found this helpful. And like I said, more episodes like this to come. Until then, I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.